everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I wish I was creative enough to write for cartoons, but instead I just do this.
This is a step. That's how it works, right?
You create a podcast, and then you become nationally famous as a comedian.
Or you do a Simpsons podcast long enough that you go, I'll write a Simpsons episode, and then they use it? Question mark?
Maybe, if we're super lucky.
I doubt it. I don't think they'd read our script. Before we get going, we'd like to thank our supporters on Patreon, with which this episode is possible. You too can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. We have a couple to thank. First of all, thank you, Joanna Rodriguez. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna.
She is a contributor. She contributed a lot of trivia questions the last few months. Also, thank you, Nick LaPola, or LaPala, however you say that. Thank you, Nick.
Nicky Bubala. Thank you.
Sure. For only $2, anyone can access all of our bonus content on Patreon and help us towards our next goal, which is a weekly written post by me. I already have several ideas about stuff I'd like to write about. I think Mo would be my first choice. I want to write about Mo a little bit.
Really? Mo?
Mm-hmm. I like Mo. You don't like Mo?
I love Mo. Mo was one of my favorite characters. But obviously, you could say, don't like The Simpsons Show? That's impossible. And make my wife squee.
Also, if you can't support us on Patreon, you can also just give us a 5-star review and subscribe to us on iTunes. Or wherever you listen to us, of course. You don't know what to write? Here is a suggestion. The Simpsons Show is a great show. It saved my marriage. There. Use that.
That's true. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens like every day. We're very good for relationships.
Absolutely. On to this week's episode. It is The Front, episode 9 F16, originally aired April 15th, 1993, written by Adam I. Lapidus. Sounds like a His last name sounds like a Pokemon. Lapidus.
That's true, it does.
Yes. This is his only Simpsons episode. He's the only episode of The Simpsons he wrote. He also has written for Full House and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
You know, it's funny. Seeing that, you'd expect him to have a very, you know, cutesy writing style. But I actually feel like this particular episode is pretty grown up. I don't want to say it's one of the more mature episodes, but it kind of feels like that. So it's interesting.
I have some opinions about this episode, which we'll get into as we go through it. We'll talk about it a bit. It's directed by Rich Moore. Original broadcast finished 21st in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 12.5, equivalent to approximately 11.6 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Married with Children, which I think that'll be our next podcast, Matt. Married with Children.
Ah, love it. I've already seen so many and I have them all.
I'm fairly certain that Married with Children does not hold up very well.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Episode guest stars Brooke Shields as herself. We have cats slamming doors in the background, so that's great. Brooke Shields does a decent job. The chalkboard gag, I will not sell miracle cures. I agree.
Well, that depends. Is it an actual miracle cure or is it just snake oil? Because, you know,
I'm going to believe it's snake oil. Not actually.
Okay, well, in that case, then no, you shouldn't sell that unless you're selling to Global Rubes.
The couch gag is the famous chorus line intro. You know, the kind of one that you see a lot of in syndicated shows.
It's true. It feels like that's the least boring. Everyone sees that and goes, oh, it's big and exciting. And it kind of matches up to the kind of ones they have today. So I think they use it a lot just to, so the other old ones don't look bad by comparison.
And specifically, they use it in this case because the show is short, so they had to use the longest couch gag they could find.
Oh, that's a good point.
Which we'll also talk about, the show being short. We get the kids on the couch watching Krusty and Itchy and Scratchy. And the particular Itchy and Scratchy cartoon airing that day is very bad. Itchy and Scratchy.
Like, really, like them standing there with mallets going, ah, ah, and it's the worst ever.
With an anti-drug message at the end, so that's always great. Say no to drugs. Nothing makes me want to not do drugs like bad cartoons.
Yep, actually I'm pretty sure that makes you want to do drugs to make the bad cartoons better.
That was the joke, Matt, but thank you for explaining it.
Oh, okay.
You got it now? Okay, good. Homer walks in with plunger on his head, which is a great gag, because Bart and Lisa exchanged the names they're going to change their names to when they're older, which is great. Lois Sanborn and Steve Bennett, if you're keeping track at home. We get Homer's, This, which becomes the B plot. We get Homer's terrible secret from his past after Marge gets a letter about their high school reunion in the mail. He confesses to Marge that he ate her fancy soaps, but also that he never graduated from high school, never passed remedial science 1A.
And he's a nuclear technician.
He ixnay on the nuclear nay ignition tay.
Oh, he failed Latin too.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Yeah, well, that, yes. But Bart and Lisa, seeing how bad this Itchy and Scratchy cartoon is, they write their own cartoon, write their own episode, which writing an Itchy Scratchy cartoon is not so bad because they're like, what, a minute?
Yeah, exactly. It's not really that hard. It's like, oh, let's think of some outlandish violence in a fun place, and it doesn't take long.
No. They kind of, Lisa sits on a typewriter and they hash it out real quickly as Bart's watching Homer chop off Marge's hair with hedge clippers and then stick it back on top with a actual stick. Marge being none the wiser.
Totally didn't notice that.
No, I would never notice when my hair gets chopped in half. But they hash out the cartoon, which, when you see it completed, is actually, it's for an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, it's pretty good.
It pretty much rivals all the rest of them.
Yeah, it's as good as any of the Itchy and Scratchies that we've ever seen. I did pull this clip about them arguing about whose name gets to go first in the credits.
Now all we have to do is put our names on it.
Fine, put my name first.
No way!
All right, then to decide it, I propose a race around the world. Meet me at Leicester Square at noon tomorrow. The Queen herself shall drop the checkered flag.
Look, there's only one reasonable way to settle this. Rock, paper, scissors. Poor, predictable Bart always takes rock.
Good old rock. Nothing beats that. Rock, paper, dope!
Good old rock, Matt.
It's pretty impressive when you can't remember the rules to rock, paper, scissors.
Well, good old rock always wins. You don't need to remember rules. Rock always wins, right?
I guess that could be true, yep.
So, they send in the script to Roger Myers Jr., which is not voiced by Alex Rocco in this episode. That is Hank Azaria.
You know, I thought something sounded a little weird.
Yeah, that's Hank Azaria, for sure. That is definitely not Alex Rocco. I recognize it right away. After his recent, passing and seeing, mm-hmm. Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, most recently, he being in that, it's quite evident that is not him. Which I don't like. I don't know why he's not in this. Is it because he wasn't available or, they couldn't? I don't know. But it kind of, that is a negative in this episode for me. The script gets rejected because it's children. They are told that they are children who wrote this. And actually, this whole episode is actually inspired by a real event where some teenage girls wrote an episode of Tiny Toon Adventures. And Steven Spielberg actually thought they did a good enough job that he brought them out to California and gave them a tour of everything, and they end up using a version of their script for an episode.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that was the inspiration of this episode. But in this case, the kids are rejected. And so their solution? Find someone else to put their name on.
Let's put a grown-up's name on it.
Well, how about Grandpa? He's pretty out of it. He let those guys use his checkbook for a whole year.
When I read your magazine, I don't see one wrinkled face or a single toothless grin. For shame. To the sickos at Modern Bride magazine.
Grandpa being an old coot. There's a lot of lines, because it is substantially a grandpa with the kids episode. You do see a lot of those grandpa's out of it jokes. We get him to let him, he just says, yeah, okay, you can put my name on it, right? He does it, that's all it is.
Like, yeah, pretty much it.
I don't,
he's
like,
just like, oh, sure, whatever.
Yeah, and he does this by pulling his underwear out. Getting his underwear off of him without pulling his pants. Lisa wants to know how he did it.
Grandpa, how'd you take off your underwear without taking off your pants?
I don't know!
Actually, if I recall correctly, he doesn't even give permission. They just ask for his name, so it's the right name.
Oh, is this the... They've used Abraham... We've heard Abraham Simpson before, right? This isn't the first time
I don't remember. That's what I was trying to look up.
Yeah, I swear they used Abraham Simpson's name before. No, it's Old Money.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense.
Abraham, I don't know why they even ask him for his name. When they don't need it, they should... Maybe the kids don't know it? I guess that's what it's telling us, that the kids don't know grandpa's first name.
You don't
name.
Pay attention to your grandparents when you're a kid.
Not, I guess, not their full names. I don't even remember if I knew my grandma's. I only had one grandma when I was a kid, but I don't think, did I know her? I knew her first name, because everyone had a nickname for her that used her first name. But that might be an outlier.
Well,
hey, listeners. We don't have viewers. Listeners. Did you know your...
We might. You never know who's watching outside.
I have cats. Did you know your grandparents' first names when you were children? Let us know. Informal poll. But Roger Myers gets the script, now with Abraham Simpson's name on it, after a feud with a writer? It's supposed to be a gag about Harvard writers?
About, you know, the Simpsons writers, essentially.
Yeah, and that's... A lot of the jokes in this are about Simpsons writers and writing for cartoons and stuff like that. But he loves it and he approves it. And his secretary calls Grandpa and tells him that he has a substantial check for him, and he is quite happy about that, even though he does not know why he is getting paid.
Well, it's important.
Yeah, but Itchy and Scratchy says, "I did the icky." So with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer reminiscing about high school in anticipation of his and Marge's, I guess, probably 20-year reunion, you think? Do they say?
Well, Homer's 30. Is he 20? Homer's 30, 34, right?
I thought he was 30. Something like that. So maybe it's a 15-year reunion. I don't know. Simpsons are weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's changed. This is 93, and it was 80 or 79. It was like 79 when he graduated, 78, somewhere in there.
I think that's the established.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, Matt. Let's continue.
It really doesn't.
No.
But anyway, Homer is going through his yearbook and has a few comments about his life.
Ah, my high school yearbook. You handsome devil. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Activities? None. Sports? None. Honors? None. So many memories.
Yep, that's it. That's all the memories of doing nothing.
Yeah, that's... Homer's very proud about having done nothing in his high school career.
Oh, Lord. But afterwards, Marge asks him what he's doing, and he starts reminiscing about happy days and confusing it with his own life, which seems to be something that happens pretty often with Homer, is that he just pretends his life is television. And I'm not really well on happy days, so if anyone is and knows that it is Homer actually describing real episodes, because it sounds like a pretty interesting show if that's the case.
You never watched Happy Days, Matt?
I did not, seeing as it came out in the 70s.
There was a little thing called Nick at Night, which aired them constantly.
Well, see, when I was young, Nick at Night was showing F Troop and Green Acres rather than Happy Days.
Well,
I wasn't far enough back for Nick at Night.
You weren't watching at the right times. Happy Days.
Apparently.
Happy Days is good. It's a solid show. Fonz is cool.
Good.
Fonz is a cool guy. Henry Winkler.
Yes, Henry Winkler is the man.
Yeah, it was like a precursor to that 70s show, kind of, actually.
Essentially, yeah.
It was really, and that was that, like, that's literally what that 70s show was. It was just like, hey, let's do the same thing, but move it up 20 years.
Yeah, and it worked out pretty well, because that 70s show was pretty good, too.
Yeah, same level quality.
Yeah.
There you go.
But anyway, we then see them on their way to the reunion where principal, I guess he's superintendent. I don't know what his actual name is now or position is now. But Don Dillinger welcomes Marge warmly and tells Homer, oh, we're not letting vagrants sleep in the gym tonight. But as soon as Homer uses his trademark dough, Don Dillinger recognizes him and says, oh, I thought you'd be dead by now. Which, you know, is true. I think a lot of people thought that. But they go inside and they start dancing to The Hustle once again, which I think is a callback to, was it The Way We Was, right?
Yes, they danced The Hustle in their first, in their tutoring session.
That's right.
Quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. But they see Artie Ziff, who comes over, and we discover, of course, he is stinking rich, but would trade it all for a night with Marge. And is this not John Loves? It did not sound like him.
Dan Castellaneta.
Okay, that makes more sense. It did sound like, you know, a more common voice.
And another, that's two people who usually have guest voices not using guest voices in this episode.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder if for some reason they just couldn't get, like, this was a weirdly produced episode and they couldn't get their normal guest stars. But I don't know. He's only in there for a few seconds, so it's not a big deal. I feel like missing Alex Rocco is much worse than missing, you know, John Lovitz for, you know, 3 seconds of Artie Ziff. But either way.
And this episode did, that little bit did kind of lead to a half-decent proposal in season 13.
Exactly. Which was not a bad episode of season 13.
Well, it has John Lovitz in it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Homer goes, to Artie's offer, and Marge shoots him down. Sorry, Homer. They get to the awards show, which are put on by the old class clown doing impressions of people who were important in the 60s and 70s. Of course, Homer knows who they are because he lived through it, and he feels like that should impress Marge, although it doesn't. But luckily for Homer, apparently all of the awards are for things you probably don't want to win, but as we'll see, Homer doesn't get to keep the awards for long.
First, the award for the alumnus who's gained the most weight, Homer Simpson.
Oh, my God!
How'd you do it, Homer?
I discovered a meal between breakfast and brunch.
And now the award for most improved odor, Homer Simpson.
Yes!
And the person who traveled the least distance to be here will kiss my grits, Homer Simpson.
What can I say? It hasn't been easy staying in my rut.
Class of 74, I was just leafing through your permanent records when I discovered something shocking. Homer Simpson never passed Remedial Science 1A and thus never graduated from high school. I'm sorry, Simpson. I'm going to have to take back those awards.
Poor Homer. And then he proceeds to get made fun of by the class clown yet again.
Yeah, it's a sad thing that Homer gets all these terrible awards, but then he feels bad that he can't, he can't even have those because he couldn't pass Remedial Science 1A.
Seeing how much he realizes he wants this, he tells Marge that he is going to go back to school and finish and get his diploma so that he can get back his most improved odor trophy, which is one that I guess Homer is very proud of, because, you know.
He's very proud of the odor. He improved it, Matt.
I guess it is the most improved, so that says, hey, you don't stink nearly as much as you used to. But from there, we go to Roger Myers Jr., loving Grandpa, who has gone to meet him to get his check. And as soon as he gets the check, Grandpa says, I want another one. And I love Roger Myers Jr.'s reaction. He's like, oh, you're a writer, all right. Just because you want checks for doing nothing. But Roger Myers then proceeds to make him a staff writer at $800 a week, which seems like not much, but maybe it was more, you know, back in the early 90s.
Let's inflation calculator. I've used this before for this show, Matt.
you have a bookmark on your Simpsons bookmark.
If I'm in 1993, I purchase an item for $800. Calculate $1,300.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
$1,300 a week is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's good money.
Yeah. So maybe that was meant to be a large amount of money, and everyone was supposed to go, wow, he makes that much for writing cartoons? Maybe we should write cartoons. The Simpsons writers were trying to put themselves out of business, I guess.
Yeah, it's another very meta joke. There's a lot of them in this episode. A lot about, hey, writing cartoons and funny cartoons are funny, writing.
It's like, cartoons are stupid. Why would you get paid money to write them?
Yes, and I think it's at this point we see the writing room?
Yes, Roger Myers takes Grandpa on a tour where he tells the writers that Grandpa has something they could never have.
All right, leeches, I want you to see what a good writer looks like. His name is Abraham Simpson, and he's got something you couldn't get at your fancy schools. Life experience.
Actually, you know, I wrote my thesis on life experience.
And quiet! Hey, tell him about your amazing life.
I spent 40 years as a night watchman at a cranberry silo.
Wow!
That sounds like the worst job ever. My God.
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming it'd be very quiet. You wouldn't have to do much. I mean, just bring a book, read.
That's true, but I can't imagine it pays a whole lot. And you have to deal with hooligans trying to break in and steal your cranberries.
I think you're imagining a little too much excitement, honestly, Matt.
That's true. I'm basing it on security guards I've met at stadiums where drug people try and break in to get onto the field and have sex.
Well, that's stadiums, not cranberries.
Exactly. But I don't know. Cranberries are pretty sexy.
I'm gonna cut that clip and loop it for 10 hours. I want to say about the writing room. A lot of those writers are modeled after real Simpsons writers. They, you know, had their, they animated them to look like real life, right? The real life counterparts. When Bart and Lisa are reading the book about how to write cartoons, it is written by John Swartzwelder. Like, there's a lot of very, you know, in jokes for people, fans of the show, you know, who know things like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that we go from a clip show to this, which feels very, cover your ears, kids, fan wanky. That seems to be just designed to be an elaborate in-joke. It's kind of like the real-life version of Behind the Laughter, essentially.
Yeah, and it's...
actually goes on behind the show.
Yeah, and it's... like, we don't get... like, I always thought this episode... I mentioned this in the last week's episode. That I always thought this episode was much further on in the show. I did not realize this was fourth season, because it is very metatextual, very like Itchy and Scratchy and Marge didn't even go near like half as far as this one about, you know, quote unquote cartoons and cartoon humor and all that stuff. This is like closer to what you'd see in like season 7 and 8, where they do not, they don't care. They're just like throw bricks at the fourth wall. And this is kind of the same thing. And it kind of surprised me a little bit. I had forgotten about, like, I'm looking back. I'm like, oh yeah, all this stuff's in it, but it never seemed as in your face as it does. It's very much like, hey, we know we're a cartoon and we're talking about ourselves.
It's true. And one thing I noticed, spoiler alert guys, our trivia theme today is, clip shows. And I noticed, I was looking at the clip shows, and your first 3 clip shows happened within the first 8 seasons, and then over the subsequent 18, there are only 2 more clip shows. So I don't know if they were just ratings bombs or what, or they felt, you know, more meta back then or what, but it's very interesting that within, through season 8, you have 3 clip shows.
Well, it's mainly, I think, pushback from Matt Groening and the producers. Mm-hmm. I think they, because Fox, if you listen to the audio commentary, like, I think at one point, Fox wanted them to do 4 a year.
4 clip shows?
4 clip shows a year, a season. Which is,
that's weird.
Which is crazy. And then I think they talked them back down to 1, and then eventually they just go, no, let's not do any, like, and I imagine it's because, like, yes, the writer, the whole creative team was just like, we hate them. Like, even in the, like, as you, like you said, for the trivia, like, this, I think the third of the clip shows is, they didn't even, the writer and director did not put their names on them because they didn't.
That would be 138th episode spectacular.
Okay, no, it was the second one then. I forget which order. It was another Simpsons clip show.
Another Simpsons clip show, gotcha.
Yeah, they took both, I think it was David Silverman and Mike Reese, took their names off of it and used pseudonyms because they did not want to be involved. Like, they didn't want to be credited for a clip show.
I can kind of see why the network would want this, because clip shows are super cheap. I mean, you have a tiny frame story with almost no use of the voice actors, and then you just throw clips together. So I imagine they're very cheap to produce when
precisely
normally an that animated is show would probably cost a lot.
Precisely correct, Matt.
All right, then. Fair enough. So after introducing Grandpa to the writers, now that we're back in the episode finally, sorry, guys, we see Krusty covered in nicotine patches. Or, sorry, at this point, he only has 1 nicotine patch on to try and stop him from smoking. It's a short gag. He then proceeds to lick the nicotine patch because it's not enough. But then he introduces the newest Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, Little Barbershop of Horrors. And, of course, Bart and Lisa are ecstatic that their cartoon has been animated. And we've actually already seen the cartoon, so there's a great gag where Bart and Lisa try to turn it up and accidentally change the channel to a science program on erosion, which, hey, erosion is important, dang it.
It is. It's a threat. Here in Florida especially, our beaches are just...
They're wandering away, although that erosion was appeared to be wind erosion, which is more of a threat to the out in the west. But when they turn back, they get to see the very end of their cartoon, which is exactly what we saw in Bart's imagination earlier. So I guess luckily for them, they didn't change the script too much, and they even animated it just like they thought. So, hey, good for the kids. They're super excited about it, of course, and we are treated to a very extended credit sequence for Itchy and Scratchy, which is, I'm pretty sure, longer than the cartoon itself.
And again, that is another reference to the Simpsons credit sequence, which It has the names of the voice actors, and then everyone else involved is like tiny, tiny print very, very quickly. And especially, I mean, they joke about it again. What episode is that where Bart gets his name by, like, for his birthday, he gets his name in the credits or something, but small.
The Krusty Show.
Oh, that's not his birthday, but that was when he is an assistant for Krusty. Right.
Oh yeah, and they pause it, and it's like
I didn't do it.
Milhouse and Nelson get mad at him for taking credit for other people's work.
Which episode is that? I didn't do it. Yeah, I didn't episode.
Where's my list of episodes? Bart Gets Famous.
Bart Gets Famous, yes.
Season 5, episode 12.
There you go. You're going to be okay there, buddy?
I'm dying.
I'm good. Drink something.
But after the kids see this, Homer comes in to confess to the kids that he has a secret. And, of course, Bart says, Dad, no matter what your secret is, we'll always love you. And as soon as Homer tells him he never graduated from high school, Bart immediately laughs out loud, which, of course, infuriates Homer and leads to the classic Bart strangling.
The classic.
Which, yeah, after our bonus episode for the Patreon subscribers of the Simpsons movie is really interesting to see after the whole Ned, Bart, Homer triangle and that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great throwback in the movie and a very important plot point. If you guys haven't seen the movie, you really should. But in order to stop this, the doorbell rings and there's Grandpa in what appears to be a Colonel Sanders suit. does that kind of suit have a name?
I want to say Seersucker, but I might be wrong.
I don't think so. I think Seersucker's more what Lyle Landley wore.
Okay, then I don't know.
Okay. If you guys know, please let us know. I'd love to know what that is actually named. But, of course, Grandpa tells Homer that he got a job, and he tells a cat and mouse what to do. Which is funny because we learned later in the episode that he's never watched an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, so I guess he picked up from the writers that it's about a cat and a mouse when he was hanging out in the writer's room.
Probably.
Of course, Homer imagines Grandpa being crazy and him dropping a, you know, not demented, what's the word when your brain doesn't work?
Dementia?
Dementia, maybe that's it.
Senility?
Senility, a senile grandpa off at an even worse old folks home, I guess. luckily the kids step in and talk to Grandpa and say, oh, you know, we wrote this cartoon and put your name on it. Didn't you wonder why you were getting checks? And Grandpa says, oh, I thought it was for the Democrats. We're in power again, which, you know, more political humor.
Ha ha ha.
Uh-huh. But the kids tell Grandpa they want to split the money three ways and continue to do that because it's making them all a lot of money and the kids are getting to see their work on TV, which is great. And of course, Grandpa agrees to this and then goes back to sleeping where he is the queen of the old West. Great dream sequence where Grandpa is an old woman, which apparently happens a lot, as we find out throughout the rest of the series. Grandpa really loves cross-dressing, even for Hitler.
Especially for Hitler. That was for his country, Matt. That was for his country, all right? Uh-huh. He's a proud American.
He really is, and he is a World War II vet, which I get. That's one of the things I always wondered about. I guess if he was, you know, 60-something in 1990, he would have been a bit young to be on the front lines in World War II, but you never know.
You can't pay too much attention, Matt.
Sliding time scales and all. Yeah, it's like comic books.
Precisely. Just don't ask. Just get, yep, that's right. That episode is precisely correct.
Exactly. Every episode's time stream is by itself. Each episode of The Simpsons is its own unique reality. They have no relation to each other.
That's kind of true, except when they actually do reference other episodes. And that's in those specific instances. Uh-oh, Matt's been playing, doing research some research for our next bonus episode.
It's fun.
Oh, good.
That ends act two.
Good, excellent. When we come back, we have a tour of the studio for the kids. They're hanging out with Grandpa, and he's sleeping. He wants no part of this tour because it involves stairs. The kids ask how they can produce so many cartoons and not, you know, would think it'd be kind of expensive.
Wow, it must be expensive to produce all these cartoons.
Well, we cut corners. Sometimes to save money, our animators will reuse the same backgrounds over and over and over again.
And obviously you can't hear that, but in the background there's an old lady janitor. Just, they pass her like five times. So
and the same door and the same, I guess, vase with a flower in it.
Yes. We, at the same time as we are seeing Bart and Lisa, we cut to back and forth with Homer going to night school, I guess, with Don DeLinger as his teacher, because his wife has recently passed. He's decided
he's... But that's not going to be on the test.
Not on the test, don't worry. We get a second Itchy and Scratchy cartoon that Bart and Lisa have written. It's called Screams from a Mall. That's also really good. It's like it's almost Twilight Zone-y with a kind of twist at the end. You're like, oh, who's going to kill... Who's killing Itchy or no Scratchy? Scratchy,
Scratchy.
Itchy's the mouse.
Exactly.
Homer is horrified that as they do a science experiment on a donut, the bright blue flame indicated this was a particularly sweet donut, which Homer is horrified by. Abe, quote unquote, Bart and Lisa are nominated for an award. Do they ever name these awards, Matt?
They do not.
Yeah, they don't. It's the Emmys, or probably.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, probably the Emmys.
I mean, they got Brooke Shields, so it's probably something pretty good.
Brooke Shields in 93. Suddenly Susan was on air yet? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that show was awesome. Actually, that show was pretty good, surprisingly.
So you haven't watched Happy Days, but you've seen Suddenly Susan, Matt?
Yes, because of... what show? What channel was that? It was some terrible channel.
You can just say, yes, I love the Suddenly Susan. It's all right, Matt. You can own up to it. There's no shame here.
No.
Okay.
Actually, you know, when you're in the dorm, you only have so many channels to watch.
I guess that's fair. And they're nominated for an award, and Roger Myers Jr. comes to tell this to Abe.
Good news, Abe.
Who are you?
No. You've been nominated for an award. You are so good, I fired the other writers. From now on, the fate of the entire company rests on that delightful coconut of yours.
Mwah. Oh, no! We're all doomed! I'm a complete fraud!
Sorry, I didn't catch any of that. And now I gotta go.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah, no, and that's another, like, that's another kind of meta joke. It's like, hey, let's just have the...
It kind of feels like a Shakespeare throwback. Oh, it's a soliloquy.
Oh, is that what that is, Matt? Okay.
I don't know. That's what it felt like to me, is like, oh, it's him talking to the camera.
So. Oh, yes, acknowledging that the camera exists. We go to the award show. We get the nominees that's presented by Krusty and Brooke Shields. This is where we see Brooke Shields. She does an admirable job for what they ask her to do, which is be Brooke Shields. She makes a joke about Krusty's hair. Or no, Krusty makes a joke about his own hair. He reads the joke about being a blue-haired goon. And he's like, my hair's not blue. It's green. I like that one.
Which, depending on the age of your TV at the time, it could have been blue.
Yeah, it depends how you want to, you know, do the little dial. But we get to see the nominees for this award. We have a He-Man parody. We have Action Figure Man episode about how to buy Action Figure Man. We get a shot at Ren and Stimpy about...
Yeah, was it... The clip not being ready. I didn't understand that, I guess.
I think it was about the show's production schedule. I think there probably were delays or stuff like that, Ren and Stimpy.
That makes sense.
But apparently one of the creator of Ren and Stimpy had taken a shot at The Simpsons at some point, even though we just saw it in Brother from the Same Planet. Like, just saw officially allowed Ren. I don't know. Do not understand. The guy who created Ren and Stimpy is a little... He's a kind of weak guy. He's very creative.
Well,
I
would assume.
Yeah,
so.
But he's like kind of... mercurial, I would say. They show the clip that Abe is nominated for, and Abe finally sees it for the first time. He's never actually watched it, and he actually wins and is brought on stage to give his speech.
Itchy and Scratchy, Abraham Simpson writes.
It was the first time I ever saw Itchy and Scratchy, and I didn't like it one bit. It was disgusting and violent. I think all you people are despicable. For shame!
He's right. We've been wasting our lives.
The hell with cartoons. I'm going to do what I've always dreamed of. I'm going to write that sitcom about the sassy robot.
I'm hoping that was David Cohen. That guy was called on.
Exactly. That's a very early foreshadowing of Futurama. It'd be great. But Homer, Abe kind of doesn't want to put the name of the show anymore. So the kind of return to the status quo. Homer passes Remedial Science 1A and receives his high school diploma. And all his awards, presumably. We flash forward into the future, where he's going to a future reunion, and he still has a plunger on his head, because Homer, that's a constant. Homer is a constant in the universe.
Yeah. He's like, Homer's stupidity, it never changes.
It's like Kelvin. There's things that just stay constant, right, Matt? Right?
You're talking about the temperature scale?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sure.
Absolute zero.
All physical constants stay.
Hey, I'm just giving you an example, Matt. Okay, I can throw them out. Gravity.
Okay, sure. Well, gravity changes slightly. The speed of light, though, does not change. So that's what's like.
All right, nerd.
Yep.
But the episode actually ends. Like we mentioned earlier that it's a shorter episode, and they try to fill time. It ends with a short about Ned Flanders. I pulled the theme song because it's good. It's fun.
Hens love roosters, geese love ganders, everyone else loves Ned Flanders. Flanders.
Not me.
Everyone who counts loves Ned Flanders.
And we get it's like a little bit about Flanders and Rod and Todd, and that's how the episode ends. And that's another thing, like, that is also said to have inspired 22 short films about Springfield, which I love that episode. That's a great episode.
That's a great episode, yeah.
But just having this tacked on to a normal episode felt very strange, and apparently that's what happened at the time. Everyone's like, what the hell was that? Why is that on there? And that's the thing, like, that's why I think I remember it later, because that's another thing that seems like it belongs at one of those later seasons where they were kind of less strict about what they did, like, with kind of the structure of the show.
Yeah, it seems like somebody new wrote this episode, it came up way short, and they did everything they could to make it a standard Simpsons episode length.
And they even reuse footage at a certain point. I don't know why they couldn't just put in like a minute gag of Homer in class. Figure one more gag Homer being in class and just
yeah, right.
That
is ripe for parody. Homer in a night remedial science 1A. I mean, come on. I can think of like five of those, and I'm a terrible writer.
So I don't know. This episode hasn't aged well for me. It's not bad by any means. It's still very good. I just don't know. It's just kind of trying to do that meta thing that I really love in a lot of episodes. Like, some of my favorite, even my most favorite episode probably, is a very kind of full of meta textual references. This feels like kind of a half attempt at that.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like that. It feels like very much like, let's try and do something a little, you know, weird and go for that kind of thing, and then, but you know, it's kind of empty and shallow instead of being like, yeah, it's not high concept.
It's like there's nothing being said. Like, generally a meta episode, there's a theme to it, a reason that it exists, and this one just seems to be meta to make fun of the writers.
Yeah, hey, writing
cartoons are made.
Writing cartoons is funny. Yeah, well, maybe if you're a cartoon writer. But we'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm not sure where we're going to put it. I thought about it.
Tough.
Yeah. My favorite episode. None for this episode. You can submit your own to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read it on air. I got tweeted at. Apparently we didn't have any submissions for last week because apparently everyone thought that someone else would do it.
That makes sense.
Bystander syndrome, right?
Yep.
Now I'm going to play comments from newsgroup sound clip because I didn't find anything much aside from the normal stuff. Although I was hoping it was mentioned that just because this guy, the writer's name is a little weird, they thought it was made up. Apparently on some internet forum, and his mother actually went to defend him.
Oh, wow.
On the internet. But if it was on alt.tv.simpsons, it was not within a couple weeks of the show. So I'm not going to, you know, search forever for it. But without further ado, it's time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question.
I cannot wait for that episode so much every time you play that clip.
We'll get there. Listener question of this week is, what is Mr. Burns' most evil act, most evil moment? I think I phrased it multiple ways, but you guys got the point. I got tons of responses again. I always appreciate all their answers. And I actually had to think about this a bit, trying to figure out what evil is to me. I think that's the most interesting part about this, is that it kind of, that word, what it means to different people. First off, we have Spike at Your Apocalypse, which he is, it's a lyric from an old pop punk band. Matt, it is not a metal band, which we joked about last week. It's not as cartoonish as Blocking Out the Sun, but trying to drown Bart in Flying Hellfish was pretty damn evil. Indeed.
Ooh, yeah.
Sean at ChonnyMac15, literally the entire episode of 2001 Greyhounds. I know he really likes the vest, but come on, Rory Calhoun too. Poor Rory Calhoun. Poppy at Excellent Monster X. Mr. Burns stealing all the puppies to make a tuxedo might not be his most evil, but along with the song, it's the best. S. Austin at S. Austin 140. Most evil moment on personal level was kicking Bart into the strong box in the Flying Hellfish episode. Elliot on Facebook. Who shot Mr. Burns features the greatest hits of Monty Evil. For me, stealing oil from an awful school takes the cake. In that episode, he tries stealing candy from a baby. Here, he's stealing education from kids. He also blots out the sun to further monopolize Springfield's energy. He also is stealing natural resources for his own benefit. I know the sun blotting was the final nail that drove Smithers to lose faith in his boss and turned to Vagrant's Choice Whiskey, but the ball got rolling with the oil theft. We have Jennifer wanting Smithers to be buried alive in his coffin, and she's included a picture.
Nice.
Yeah. We have Izzy Harvesting the ocean to make little Lisa slurry.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad. That's many, many fish. Joanna has to be who shut Mr. Vernon's between stealing the oil well, then blocking the sun. This is the most evil scheme of his, but the worst, taking candy from a baby. Diabolical. And we have Joshua in the episode Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson, Burns attempt to have Abe assassinated, steals the paintings at gunpoint, and decides to kill Bart when he's called out as a coward and is crazed to the name Hellfish, which he is. Connor, going and killing his dogs to make fur clothes from a dozen and one greyhounds. The seriously most evil and sadistic thing Mr. Burns has ever done, even if it did lead to the incredibly catchy See My Vest. And finally, we have Stephanie. Kidnapping puppies to murder so he can have a puppy suit. Which, when you phrase it that way, a puppy suit does sound pretty bad. It's such a dark plan. The song makes it seem less horrible, but it's still pretty bad. Also making us look at him only dressed in grizzly bear underwear. So, Matt, what is your answer?
Okay. I normally try and go for the funniest one of these, but I'm actually going to focus in on one thing in 2001 and Greyhounds, and that is his, I believe it's boots or whatever, made from African endangered rhino, which that is pretty much, the Little Lisa slurry was pretty bad, but African endangered rhino, both the white and white and black rhinos, I mean, I'm pretty sure one of those is, I think it's the black rhino, is completely extinct, and there are like fewer than 1,000 white rhinos, or even if it was Sumatran rhino, there are less than 100 of those left. That is some cold-blooded stuff, man. Cold-blooded.
That's what I like about this. The evil thing. My answer is trying to murder Abe and Bart. Like, literally, I mean, like, he was gonna, like, he hired someone to assassinate Abe and was literally just gonna drown Bart.
Yeah.
Again, murdering animals, also terrible. I went with the people. But, my second answer would be the Little Lisa slurry and, the old man Lisa, because who knows how many things got killed. Dolphins and killer whales and things that, and fish, which we have problems with fish. I don't know if you guys realize.
And most sea life in general.
Yeah. But there you go. Next week's question. We've talked a lot about meta references in this episode. What is your favorite meta reference in the show?
Ooh, it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I'm going to have to definitely think about it. I think I know my answer. I'm not sure, though. I will post this question on all our social media on facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, you can reach out to us. Next up, Matt, it is time for our listener... it is not. I've already done that. It is time for our No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenge. For Matt and I, we each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other. And this week's theme is submitted by Neil at After Thief on Twitter. It is, quote-unquote, new material from clip shows. I just kind of... Whatever, I don't know exactly what he means, but I think I know exactly what he means, but I just kind of, I phrased it, I went what I think, and I didn't tell Matt exactly what that to do, so we'll see what our interpretation of that was. Matt, give me an easy question, start us off.
All right, your easy question, what love-themed holiday serves as a frame for a Simpsons clip show?
Valentine's Day?
That is correct. I believe there's another Simpsons clip show focuses around their lost loves.
It's true. What fitness instructor is shown in robot form attacking Burns and Smithers in the 138th episode Spectacular?
I believe that would be Richard Simmons.
That is correct.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was Richard or something else.
No, it's Richard. You're correct.
Okay. I have to ask, Behind the Laughter is considered by some to be a clip show. Do you consider it to be a clip show?
I thought about including it. I did not, but it's kind of in that same genre as 138th episode Spectacular. It's okay. More, I'm not going to judge you if you use a question from it, Matt.
All right, I'm going to. All right, whose house did the Simpsons buy after moving out of their trademark house in Behind the Laughter?
Oprah's. That's a complete guess.
MC Hammer. They found a whole room filled to the ceiling with parachute pants.
I did not know that, so I guessed. What book is Marge reading in another Simpsons clip show?
Oh, what book is she reading? Oh, it's that stupid book about a bridge. Bridges of Madison County?
That's correct.
Okay.
That book's not about a bridge, man. That's just the name of it.
No, it's not. I could picture the cover in my brain. It had a covered bridge on it.
Okay. Give me a hard one.
All right, this is a tough one. You got to remember a very specific clip. All right. According to Lee Marvin, what kind of paint should be used to paint your wagon in All Scene, All Dancing?
We're gonna paint a wagon. We're gonna paint it. Oh.
Gonna use.
Yeah, I know. Varnish something? I don't know. I don't know.
You give up?
Yes, I give up.
Gonna use oil based paint because the wood is pine.
Oh, oil based paint. Okay. No, I could think the song, but I could not imagine. I can't remember.
Okay, hit me.
Okay. How many does are in the montage in So It's Come to This, a Simpsons clip show?
Oh, I'm gonna have to go with a wild guess here and say 28.
You're close-ish. 32.
Really?
32 is the answer.
Oh, that was my second guess, because I love the number 32.
Oh, it's so adorable.
Anyway.
I have some questions from John. He has submitted a good chunk of them. Measurement system of chunks. You ready, Matt? Here we go. When Krusty fakes his death in Bart the Fake, his eulogy is delivered by what legendary comedian?
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart is correct. God, love Bob Newhart. I kind of want to go back. After we talked about his Bob Newhart show, you know, a while ago, I kind of felt the urge to go watch both of his old sitcoms, because I used to love them when I was a kid.
They were pretty good. They were a little ahead of their time.
Yeah. In Old Yeller Belly, Sansel Helper is hired, quote-unquote, to be a beer spokesdog and is given what new name?
I believe it's Suds McDuff.
That is correct. That is also, yes. You're too good at this, Matt. Finally.
Well, I asked a question from that episode about the shark, so.
Okay. In Skinner's Sense of Snow, Skinner shows the Snowden students what boring holiday movie?
Oh, God, I don't remember the name, but I remember how awful that was. About a grinchy little character who tries to steal Christmas. It's like, it's something like the Christmas that almost wasn't, but was, something along those lines.
You're very close, but we are following Jeff.
Was?
Okay, I don't know about that. Okay, you're right. I guess if you're taking a, we'll just let you take as many guesses as you want, I guess. We'll just allow that.
You ought to be allowed to funnel it down into the actual name.
Funnel it down is how we're describing that. But I have some more, but I'll save them for future episodes. If you guys have any trivia questions you'd like me to try and stump Matt with, harder the better, you can send them into the social media places or email them to me, and I'll use them on the show as well as suggest themes. We always like to get those. It gives us a little bit of structure in our, you know, loose, chaotic lives. But with that, it is time for our final segment. Matt, it is time for Best Episode Ever. Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I don't know where to put this one at all, Matt.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I'm looking low on this one, to be honest with you.
I'm thinking of like, okay, it's Itchy and Scratchy, it's Bart and Lisa, it has Grandpa,
I'm kind of looking near Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, since it was kind of a similar type. Like, it's about Itchy and Scratchy and Roger Myers Jr. and all that. And honestly, I kind of like Itchy and Scratchy and Marge better.
Yeah, I don't know. We are getting pretty far down on the list.
Yeah, I mean, it was very well produced. It was a tight episode, too tight, could be said. And there's a lot of great jokes in there. So I feel like putting it that far down underneath, like, Krusty Gets Busted and Simpson Delilah is doing a disservice, but I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I'm like looking in that. I mean, you're not. I think you're right in that kind of area. I do want to like the, but the jokes in it are like, there are good funny jokes. I think just that it's kind of themeless is my biggest critique of it in all. I mean, aside from all the like the meta stuff is fine. It's just because it doesn't try and do something with it. It kind of feels aimless to me.
Well, in addition to that, I feel like most Simpsons episodes, you have an A and a B story. In this episode, you have an A and a B, but it's mostly, it's closer to like an A and like 80% A story, because they're almost equal time, I feel like. So it's kind of like, obviously the Itchy and Scratchy portion is the more important part, but there's so much time on the B story that I feel like it's almost as important. And that's good, but it feels a little weird.
I would honestly probably put this, I think it's better. I like it more than Itchy and Scratchy and Marge.
Okay.
I think it's better than War of the Simpsons. Krusty Gets Busted is the best episode from season one.
Right.
But it suffers, you know, it doesn't have as good production.
Oh, yeah.
It's rough looking. There's Simpson Delilah, Bart vs. Thanksgiving, Two Guard. I would put it probably right above Krusty Gets Busted, honestly.
That sounds about right to me, because, you know, I have a soft spot for Simpson Delilah and Bart vs. Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I would say on its technical merits and, you know, that sort of thing, it's better than Krusty Gets Busted.
And
that's a good place for it.
Yeah, I want to put it higher, but honestly, it doesn't feel, other than Bart with good old Rock, nothing beats Rock. There's nothing in it that I'm like, oh, yeah, that. Like, it's nothing. There's nothing that memorable.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I wish they would have taken the Homer, you know, didn't graduate high school and make that a full episode on its own, because it feels like it could be a really good episode about Homer taking night classes and then just, you know, fill in something else as a B story, and maybe a different B story for this would have been a better match.
Well, I think they would go back, if they could go back in reverse time, Matt, I think they would go crazy, like, and to think about all the ideas that they put into episodes where they could have fully fleshed them out more.
Yeah.
And they probably are, you know, cussing themselves because they had oh yeah, nowadays we could, like, they're like, they scour for ideas. They, like, you know, they famously covered multiple things more than once. So that is now number 57 on our list. That's our lowest season 4 episode, if I'm
by far.
Yeah, it's not even. Let's see. What's Auto Show? Is Auto Show 4 season, right?
That was 3.
Is that season 3? I'm already on track.
Yes, that is season 3.
What would be the next one? I'm trying to.
Wow, it's
Marge Gets a Job. I think number 36.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yep. That and is
New Kid. Is that higher than New Kid on the Block? Yeah.
Just below New Kid on the Block. So yes, the front is now
20 slots lower.
Yes. So I'm sorry, not sorry. You know, they end up where they end up. So that is number 57 on our list. It's still,
don't worry, the next 3 episodes will be a nice palate cleanser.
So it's right above Krusty Gets Busted, right below Simpson and Delilah. Homer's Odyssey, last place, 77. Marge vs. the Monorail, still number 1. What is our next episode, Matt? Giving us a little.
I believe it is. Oh no. Is it finally here? Is it Whacking Day?
Whacking Day. Oh, Whacking Day.
Our hallowed snake skull cracking day.
That beautiful voice of yours, Matt. You can find this list, best episode ever list, on our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Links to all our social media, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon, to, of course, new episodes, all that is on there. Please check it out. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, and iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you subscribe at a certain level on Patreon. You will not find him.
That's true. However, after a certain disagreement with my wife, I have been bricked up in a mausoleum, Cask of Amontillado style. So if you're in any cemeteries in Orlando, feel free to just yell into the mausoleums. It might be the right one. Thank God I have an internet connection in here.
I like your sound in there, Matt. Maybe you should do them all from there.
I know, right? Well, I can't get out anymore, so I'll be in here for the rest of the time until I die. She stops bringing me food.
Well, she's still bringing you food. I mean, that's love, I guess.
For now.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the episodes.